Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 394, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I am your host, Jeff Halish. I'm joined by Marshall Emery, CEO from Help Me With My Computer Tech. How you doing, Marshall?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Just got off a training call this morning. A little tired, but holding in there.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate
how's
you coming out.
Starting out.
Oh, it's great. It's a good morning to be podcasting and sharing with other people. So I know you've got a lot of good information to share. Marshall is one of those people who is, in my opinion, what I would consider a, not that others aren't, but he's a go-getter. he's always going to get something. And with
yeah,
that, he's always looking to for ways to help his business, ways to expand his business, ways to even maybe change his business. And the reason he's doing that is because he's constantly moving forward. You know, and a lot of times as technicians, myself included, we kind of get in this zone where we get stuck and we just keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And we're not really moving forward. We think we're maintaining, but a lot of times what's really happening is we're actually going backwards. And then everybody gets to that point where they go, man, do I really want to do this for this amount of money anymore? Or should I move on and do something else? You know, like, I don't know, hang out with the family or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's many different things that we could do to justify doing a business or not doing a business. But I think as long as you are constantly trying to improve yourself, and it's not always changing everything, but just improving yourself, making yourself better day in and day out, I think that helps to move your business along. What do you think, Marshall?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. It's like part of my mantra. Of how to be effective as a business and as a person, as a human being in general. And, you know, on that whole note, if you don't stay on top of industry changes and standards that are changing around you, you know, if you don't pay attention to what's happening, I think on average about once every 6 months, there's a big architectural change with hardware. Software changes are happening day and night all the time. And if you aren't on the radar and you're not paying attention to what's happening, it's really easy to fall behind. And so what you're just talking about is a lot of people don't realize that they're actually hindering themselves by not pursuing, you know, a lateral movement in their business or pursuing other ways to do business for the same product or the way that you're doing business currently, but to improve it. You're hindering yourself because the guy next door, the girl next door, the ones that have that, like me, you know, some really strong forward movement, you know, I'm full tilt 24/7, 365. And I'm full tilt because when I get faced off against a brick wall, being full tilt allows me to crash through it and just keep on moving. And I don't look back into my history and past and see, oh, you know, there's that brick wall. I was stuffed up on that thing for like 8 months straight. That was such a horrible experience. I look back and I see that was a couple days of my life that was a little frustrating, but then I moved through it and progressed because I did this, this, and this to change and adapt and overcome it. I think that's probably something that everybody forgets to do from time to time, you know?
Right.
You stick in your normal trend, you stay with it, and then the guy or the girl down the street surpasses you. And now you're not as profitable. You're not getting as many clients. You lose clients. So it's hard to know how to do that the right way to avoid those issues.
Well, I think a lot of times we get into a situation where our business is based constantly on putting fires out. The next computer that comes in,
I hate fires.
Yeah, the next business, you know, server that crashed or whatever, and that's what we concentrate on. Or the next big job of, you know, we got this job where we can do a cable drop at a company, and it's like we look for those things, and those, in my opinion, are a lot of times they're part of our business and they're very essential, but they're basically, they pop up and they stop us from doing other things, whether it be marketing, you know, figuring out how to increase the profits in your business, those types of things. That's really what's important. You have to have a well-rounded business. And I'm afraid that a lot of businesses are basically focused on putting each and every fire out.
And I'm going to augment your statement there. People forget that the most important thing, you know, when you're the business owner, you're the office manager. You're the person responsible for the paychecks. Your only job, your only job, the only one that matters, and this is even when you're a one-person band, like I am in my company. You know, that actually changed a couple days ago. I brought my girlfriend in on board full-time as an assistant. But, you know, when you're all the hats are on your shoulders, your most important job always, the primary hat that you always have to focus on doing first is creating revenue. And if you're the personality that's always constantly doing the work to put out the fires, you're working in your business too much when you should be working on it. And I would challenge anybody to actually assess themselves and say, I invest this amount of hours per day or per week on working on my business to improve it. Statistically, this is a habit that I'm in. It's a behavioral change that I developed way back when, so that I'm constantly adapting and making my business grow. Most people that I talk to and chit-chat with, they're not doing that. It happens half an hour here, half an hour there, every other month or so. And that's a huge issue because you're not running an effective business. You've got to focus on growth. You've got to focus on creating new sales and revenue and moving forward. If you get stuck in that, the tunnel vision of put out the fire, put out the fire, put out the fire, and every fire that's put out is another sale, then that guy next door, the girl next door, they're going to beat you out whenever they put out some service that automates putting out that fire, and you're still trying to do it manually. So it's rough. It's really hard to push through that. And you know, right now, while we're talking, I'm actually remoted into a client machine doing malware removal with D7.2. So I'm making money right now on a managed service contract by not having to spend a ton of time doing a malware removal by letting D7.2 automate it.
There you go.
You got to work smarter, not harder, so that you can make more money in less time.
Yeah, because I think the ultimate goal of business, regardless of whether anybody out there wants to believe it or not, is to make money. Because I laugh because my tagline for my business is fixing computers because it's fun. And every time I read that, to this day, I still laugh. It's a cute tagline. It's cool. It came up, you know, out of nowhere. I just, hey, that sounds pretty cool. And I do like, you know, at the time I did like fixing computers, but
you don't like it anymore.
I like it. I do like the challenge, but
let me ask you this. Do you like the money you make off of it more than fixing them?
No, you know what? It's more. Yeah, probably. Here's the thing. I don't mind doing the work as long as I'm paid accordingly. In other words,
and that's another problem a lot of people have is figuring out how to get paid accordingly.
Yes.
Because we're in a service industry. And when you work in a service industry that requires labor, you know, somebody's time, you know, you pay them money for their time. It's really, really easy for people to just walk all over you. And yeah, I know you and I have shared stories in the past where that's happened.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I've almost got that completely cleaned up now to where I don't have that issue now. But, you know, it's no fun. Don't let people walk all over you. Get paid accurately for your time. Your time is valuable, just like your client's time is valuable, and you're trying to sell them a service. Make sure that they understand the expectations of that service so that they can understand why you're going to charge them what you're going to charge them. Instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to bill you $50 for malware removal, then you don't tell them what's really happening.
Exactly.
You know, you say, I'm going to bill you $50 for an otherwise, you know, from start to finish, 6 to 8 hour process. That's 6 to 8 hours of my time that I'm willing to charge you $50 for. Let's face it, you could probably make more money on minimum wage, I think, can't you? Close to it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think so. And that's the hard part. We know with a virus removal, you're not spending all the time sitting there, you know, working out or touching the machine necessarily because we run our scans or do whatever we do. The problem is you still have to justify, is it worth it taking a phone call, bringing the computer in or going and getting the computer, cleaning it all up, taking the computer back or calling the customer to pick it back up. These are all these things that we don't think about that really is our time. That's what we're charging for. And, mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, coming from me, I'm going to tell you, if you're charging $50 for a virus removal, you're doing yourself and the rest of the industry a disservice because I did that. And yes, I got a lot of clientele. I'll just be honest. I have nothing to hide. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm understanding, and I still will continue to make a lot of mistakes, but I'm understanding how to make myself better. Some of those people that have come back since I've had that $49 virus removal, it wasn't even $50, it was $49. You know, when I've charged them $89, you know, they look at me like $89, and I'm just like, I had to raise my prices. You know, things are going up, and I'm not willing to do it for $49 anymore.
Well, and the other thing is too, if they're expecting the same price from a business consistently all the time, that's fine. But typically you get that from a larger company that has multiple employees, where they have an employee at a certain pay wage, you know, per pay scale, that's cost effective for them to get the job done. And as that person's skill sets grow, they move them into different job opportunities, and they fill that void with someone that's at that appropriate education for the job. You can't take someone that has, you know, 2 years of on-the-job training and put them in a, you know, $50 from hour removal position where that's what they're doing all day long to make the company money, and then turn around and have them have 10 years of experience and ask the same price. If someone came to me right now, today, and asked me to do mower removal for $50, I would politely bow out and I would refer another local IT company. I'm going to send that client to them and tie them up with what could potentially be a headache so that I can move on and have more time in my day to do business at better prices.
Exactly. And that's what I've noticed over time. As I've, and here's my story, is basically what happened was, I used to charge a flat fee of $79 if you bring me the computer.
Oh, I remember.
But I was out in a different area. So when I did that.
That must have been before you and before, I met.
Yeah, before you and I met. So I was out in a different area about an hour away from where I live now. And I was building up a pretty good business, even at $79 flat, which this was back in 2010. So, and that wasn't bad, you know, that wasn't bad for back then. So when I came to this newer area, which it was a little more affluent area, but people that are affluent are sometimes also cheap. And with that, I had lowered some of my prices to kind of be competitive in the market, so I thought. What I didn't realize is when every other customer says, that's it? That's the price? You know, I started to understand that I was charging way too little for what I was doing. And then I started to realize, do I really want to sit behind a computer and work on it for this amount of money? And I had to realize, no, I need to make decent money. And then I really started to think about it and started counting in advertising costs. I started counting in, you know, any type of tools that I use, any type of subscription services. My time, all these things. And I still, even at the prices when I raised them, I still started looking at it and go, I'm really not making a whole lot of money. So I need to find a better way. And I think you hit on it. I need to find a better way to automate my business in some respects. You know, I'm still the face of my business, but I want to automate some things to get them done quicker and so that I can do multiple things at the same time.
Yeah, you got to. And you only the few things you mentioned right there, you hit like the tip of the iceberg for things that when you if you're listening to this call and you feel like you're running into that scenario where you're not 100% without a doubt sure that what you're selling is actually making you a good profit margin, you could do some more research. You need to do some market research on who you're selling it to. You need to do research on your own business, kind of do an internal audit and figure out where the numbers are at. Because like just Jeff just said, that's only a tiny piece of the pie.
Right.
There are a lot of other things that go into that equation and that puzzle that are hidden that a lot of people that are starting their business now or even been in business for 20, 30 years that they've never been in the habit of paying attention to. And so they've really never truly known, or to date don't know, what their real profit margins are at. And that's a dangerous game to play. You got to know how to assess things. You got to know how to figure out where the money goes and how to make your money the right way.
Absolutely. No, that's a good point. You know, and I mean, really, again, it goes back to being in business. We want to make a profit. So how do we, yep. how do we make that profit? And, you know, a lot of times if we're just in the business of creating fire or not creating fires, but in the business of putting out fires, it's just one, it, we're basically living paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of times I've seen this for That's myself. Scary. Well, it, not only that, it gets even worse because a lot of times I think you could look at a lot of our businesses as a computer repair tech, whether you're full-time, part-time or whatever. I know this is true for me. And the way I do business sometimes, I'm really doing nothing more than working a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm self-employed. I'm working for myself, but I am absolutely doing a job. And, you know, and there can be a problem with that. I didn't get into business to get another job.
Yeah.
You know?
You got into business to make more money on the side so you can stop your full-time job and have a much more relaxed lifestyle without all the headaches. There's a flip side to this coin. Anybody that's been in business long enough knows that when you run your own company, it has its gives and takes. You know, to run your own business and to be an entrepreneur, you have to live a life of sacrifice that is outside of the norm of your normal, you know, day job, you know, employee. But there are a ton of perks to being the boss or to being, you know, partner to a business.
Right.
And I tell you what, I've been running my own business for a number of years now. I am never going to go back to working for somebody else. I will work with people. And I guess I'll go ahead and mention a couple things that I'm doing here. I'll work with people. I do business-to-business consulting for IT companies. And with my own local clientele, I will do business assessments because I pitch my business as a business solutions management provider. I don't pitch myself as an IT company because the IT part of what we do now is really just a small facet of the daily management of ins and outs. I go in and I only work with people whenever I can focus on finding a way to make them money. I don't want to do business with people if I'm going to become an expense. And that's a big reason why I try to avoid all those break-fix issues. I still do break-fix, but those are fires. When you have to share the burden of that fire without a contract, you have unknown liability risks. And if you're sitting at home, driving the car, listening to this, wherever you're at, don't raise your hand, but just in your head, how many of you don't have the adequate level of business insurance to cover yourself, or you couldn't pay out of pocket because you don't have your retained earnings set up the right way to cover that disaster of, you know, mom or dad at home brings their computer in and it breaks, it falls off the tech bench, whatever, just destroyed, and you got to buy them an $800 machine. If you're guilty as charged, that's okay. That happens. It's not that costly to get that whole scenario fixed. Get an insurance guy, get yourself some business insurance, then you have a low deductible to cover those kinds of issues. If you have a data security breach that you're responsible for, low deductible, cover up to a couple $1 million, cost you like nothing. I pay like, I think, under $2,000 a year for business insurance right now. And I run a small company. You know, it's myself and my girlfriend right now as an assistant. She's helping me do a lot of things, and I honestly think here in another couple months, she's going to be right at that tier one technician scale for her technical skills. But migrating back over to the previous topics of how do you automate your company so that if you're moonlighting, you got your full-time day job like you do, Jeff.
Right.
How do you automate your company so that in your off hours – You don't have to spend as much time because let's face it, if you have a significant other, spouse, husband, wife, whatever, and you're working after hours, they're only going to be happy for so long before they start banging on the door and saying, hey, you can't do these 8-hour shifts at work through the day and then another 4 to 6 hours every single night. This is just going to have detrimental effects. You fix all of that by doing good, you know, business level automation. Through the tools that you use, get a ticketing system, mHelp Desk, Commit CRM, Zoho Support, Zoho CRM, ConnectWise, Autotask, Salesforce. There are tons of tools out there that you can latch yourself onto and get educated on how to use. You can hire another service like my company to help you implement things and get them up and running so that it's more streamlined, more automated. You spend less time handling all the requests that you got to deal with, and you have better auditing practices so that, God forbid, you ever do get sued or get taken to court over an issue with a client, you have proof, you got evidence that corroborates, you know, your story, and hopefully helps support a case to win.
Right.
Wouldn't ever want anybody to have to deal with that, but that's business. And if you're not actively protecting yourself, then you're actively choosing to weaken yourself. That's a bad habit to be in. So get the right tools. Desktop support, you know what I'm going to say. D7.2. You're not buying D7.2. God have mercy. God have mercy. I am doing a malware removal right now, okay, on a remote computer. I have ConnectWise and LogMeIn integrated, popped open a ticket with a client, popped in my LogMeIn rescue info, sent the client the info. They got me logged in. I ran D7.2's SFX Mini. Took me like a couple seconds to do that through a script and log me in. D7.2 pops up, put in my info for the ticket and everything. Okay, click next and click my malware removal tab, click start, and I went back onto my call with you. So I'm making $275 right now sitting here having an interview. I'm making money.
Yeah. That is the way to do it. So you're not having to sit there and concentrate on, you know, what's going on. You're using D7.2 as a tool to basically automate what you do so that you can do other things. And again, you're more productive that way.
Yep. And you don't have to be educated on how to do this. You get a little bit of training that helps, but if you're willing to devote your own time and energy, which is costly because time is money. Your time is very valuable. Even if you're starting your own new IT company, you need to figure out how much your hourly rate is worth and figure out if it's more cost effective for you to get trained on something, not just D7.2. Maybe you want to get into Salesforce and you don't have a year and a half to get brought up to speed on how to really use Salesforce the right way. Hire someone to get you trained. Salesforce has tons of people, I'm sure, that they'll train you. It'll cost you money, but everything's going to cost you money. You want to kind of jump the curve, so to speak, it's going to cost you a little bit. In my own company, from the very beginning, I jumped the curve in tons of ways, partnered with really large businesses to educate myself very quickly. I went from 1 month having no monthly recurring revenue. Well, I did, but they were like $10 and $20 deals to, you know, 3 months later, I had an increase in over $75,000 coming into my revenue streams. No, that's not monthly, but that was still 75 grand over the course of a year that I didn't have otherwise.
Right.
Due to dropping a couple thousand dollars here and there to get trained from the right people in the right way, and then to adapt and overcome my own methodologies and how I did business. If you're already running a company and you got capital assets, you know, money to spend, and you're not making good monthly revenue, get some help. You know, don't continue to walk down that street in shadows, you know, so to speak. Get some help. Come back out into the light. See what's happening out there in the industry and all the different channels, antivirus vendors, backup vendors, cloud services, all of the, Google and Microsoft and their whole online apps stuff. Office Online, Office 365 is just, people are making a lot of money off that right now.
Right.
People are making money off of doing the Google apps for business. And there's so many different spaces that you could customize for your own self, for your own company, and be different than your local competitors to just make a killing on. It's just mind-boggling. I only do a few in my own company, but I'm really successful at it. I went from, on average, a 90-hour work week working in my business, actually doing the work and working on it. And back then, I really didn't have a scheduled time frame for how I work on my business. And so it was that whole, you know, maybe half an hour a month, an hour, 2 hours a month, whatever. It was just horrible. And flipped that coin a couple months later, started implementing better standard operating procedures, company policies, changed my hourly rates, changed what I was asking for break fix, changed what I was asking for contracts. I do about less, I honestly think, but this is the last time I ran a report, about 8 hours a month real labor. And then all the rest of my time I spend it on other ventures, lateral movements I'm doing in my own company. I do business-to-business consulting. I do training with Nick Shaw over at Foolish IT and D-Support Online for D7 and D-Support Suite. And I just haven't finished it all up yet, but I just started talking with Mike Michalowicz with his whole Profit First system, and I'm working on getting onboarded there as a business coach. So not completely finished yet, but everything looks promising, and I'm excited. So I do a lot of different stuff, and there's a downside to stretching yourself too thin, but I'm not stretched too thin quite yet, and having her come in and be a full-time assistant has really helped. But if you're feeling like in your own company you're stretched too thin, and you don't have in every different area of your business something that's running automatically to help get the job done, then you have a lot of room for improvement. My ticketing system is automated. When I do professional service work like I'm doing remotely right now on this call, it's automated. Having her be an assistant cost me, you know, $15 an hour, which to me really isn't much. To have her do that, and I pay her a lot more than what I should. But you know, I and that's where for her in that position, I'm having her do a lot of stuff that are not in a standard, you know, assistant position, because I want her to become a tech. So I don't have to hire a, you know, $20 to $50 an hour pay range technician, so that, you know, she can go and do a lot of the tier one. And hopefully before the end of this year, maybe halfway through next year, be a tier two tech. And then I can be the service engineer tier three. Okay, servers down on site, go out, reboot it, call the help desk. Guys, it's back up and running. Okay, they log in. They do the work for me. And you're familiar with my help desk. We use the same one, I think. Can I divulge that information?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Chris Carruthers from Remote Support Tech Team is awesome. He has an awesome business model running right now. If you're a small startup IT company and you're looking at making some huge curves on how you can save yourself time and money, you need to stop what you're doing right now. You need to go hit Google, and unless you're driving or whatever, but you need to hit Google as soon as you can and go and Google Chris's business, Remote Support Tech Team.
Or
he's going to do things to just change. Is there another way to get in touch with him?
Well, I was going to say, or you can go to podnest.com and
yes,
and find the podcast episode with Chris Carruthers. And I'm not sure. I'll look while you're continuing to talk. I'll look up which episode it was.
So using Chris's help desk service is an awesome way of, you know, growing a service offering. You know, when you're starting with just a tiny little business, one person, two people, that helps you expand your resources. And doing business more successfully is all about expanding your resources. So it frees up your time. So you're not doing 90-hour work weeks. You're doing 8 hours. You're doing less, hopefully. And there is a plethora of ways to do that.
All right. That looks like it was Podnuts episode number 85.
Go listen to the Podnuts episode after you get off this one. It'll make you have a happy day. You're going to have a good day after listening to that one.
You know, the nice thing, so from my perspective, I work a full-time job. Okay. I work 4 days a week, 10 hours a day. My hours are
crazy and crazy.
4:30 to 3 o'clock in the morning. So that's what I run. So I've got Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to do things. But there's a lot of times during regular times when people are calling, especially a lot of people know if you're working out of your home, you're a one-man shop, I'm not able to get a lot of the calls, or I'm busy doing something with my family or podcasting or other things. Mm-hmm. So I've hired Chris to basically be my, you know, the guy that takes my calls and can also do work for me remotely. And then if he can't do it, he schedules something for me and they come to my house and drop it off. And then I work on it just like you're doing right now. I've got my bench behind me. I've got my tech bench in my closet, mm-hmm. and I'll be running a program while I'm able to podcast or work on my business, marketing, anything that I need to do, those types of things.
Yep. And so, you know, one of the things that I sell people in business to business consulting is the right process, depending on where they're at with their own business right now and their growth, on how to make the right choice for who you, you know, hook your bandwagon up to get the job done the right way. And, you know, in my own company, I went through a lot of trial and error and success and failure to figure out how to get to where I'm at right now. And in 10 years from now, I'll have another 10 years of experience in doing that. If you're not doing something right now that you know you could do better, it behooves you to not try to recreate the wheel and to try and find someone or find a service that will help you do that job better. And I would always encourage people to just go ahead and get in touch with me. And if it's something I can help them with, we'll pursue that path. But, you know, I don't take my own skill sets past in, you know, what I can't do into areas that I'm really not educated or skilled at. And that's where I'm very fortunate in that I've partnered myself up with lots of different companies, and I have a lot of contacts that I know and have access to their ears. And so I'm confident in saying there isn't anything that I can't point you in the right direction for.
Right.
You got a problem that I can't help you with and resolve, you know, within my own company, I can send you to the right company or the right individual or the right technician or, you know, sales engineer, whoever, to shorten that time frame that it's going to take between your failure in doing the current process the wrong way and your success in augmenting and adapting it to doing it the right way.
Exactly.
And I think we're going to have my info at the end of the call here on the page, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all your info will be whatever you want me to plug. I'll put those in the show notes. Any links that you want to put up there, information will be there.
Put my email address out there so people can pop me an email if they got questions or they need a little bit of advice. I'll do some freebie advice. Just don't be asking me tons of really specific questions, because then I'm going to want to charge you for my time.
Which is fair. You know, and I'm going to tell people out there too, you know, one of these things that is technicians, I think a lot of times when we wear a bunch of hats, we will we'll get caught up in wearing those hats. And I think sometimes we have to step back and go, what am I really good at? And you take that as your niche and you deal with that. And you kind of take some of the other things that maybe you're not really good at or maybe even don't like to do and get rid of those. Yes, they might be a revenue stream, but if they're causing you an aneurysm every time that you do them, it's absolutely not worth it.
Yeah, you want to get rid of those. Aneurysms when doing business, not good.
Aneurysms when doing anything, not good, but yes. So
true.
But
that's the business part is on my flow chart. After the business part, then there are other not good categories.
Exactly. So learn what you really like to do. You know, I still, for whatever reason, and a lot of people might find this weird, I still enjoy, I don't know why, taking apart a laptop. Now there are people out there that are like, you know what? I'm not taking apart laptops. I'll take apart the bottom and maybe pull out a hard drive or change the RAM or something like that. They just don't want to take them apart. I still find it a challenge. I still find it enjoyable. But that's me. If that's not you, don't do that. Find something else. But here's the thing. I won't work on phones. I will not do screen replacements because I'm not good or I'm not educated enough to do them to make it profitable for me, so I don't even deal with them.
Yeah,
I'd rather send that to somebody else.
Yeah, I outsource to a vendor and I make profit off of their service. But you know, we had a conversation a while back about laptop screen replacements and stuff. And you actually had a really awesome niche that you had developed there, in that you had access to a vendor that I didn't even know existed. You're getting better pricing on your screens, and so that was something in my own company. When someone comes to me with a laptop screen, 9 times out of 10, I'll just tell them, look, it's going to cost you this much money, and I think that's a poor investment. I don't want you to invest your money in this. Let's look at a different option. Well, now, thanks to you, I have access to, you know, better pricing. And so when I get those calls or those requests, I can say, hey, yeah, I can go ahead and take care of that for you. What's the model? Let's go ahead and get it figured out, and I'll figure out how much it's going to cost. Oh, it's going to be this much money. It's more cost effective then, instead of, you know, being half the cost between the service and the hardware of a new machine.
Exactly.
At that point, I'm going to start walking down that path of explaining to them the merits and the values of considering taking the money as an investment and spending it somewhere else to get a different system. It works sometimes, it don't work sometimes. Depends on how the age of the computer and, you know, the mood of the client and all that kind of stuff. But
well, you've got to educate your clients too to what they need, or, you know, to make sure that they're getting serviced in the right way. So that we're not just selling them something because, hey, I can fix this. You give them options. Here's option A, here's option B, here's option C. What do you want to do? Well, what do you suggest? Here's what I would suggest in this situation. You know, you've got a computer that's 4 years old. I'm going to say instead of spending $150, $200 to fix it, why don't we go ahead and let's get you a new computer. You're going to be much happier with the service that you're going to get from that computer. It's going to have a year warranty, okay? And what you do, go to the store, get it. Don't buy anything extra. Don't buy any warranties, anything. Bring it to me. I will move your data over, and I will set your computer up properly like nobody does. Nobody. Oh, yeah. No consumer sets their computer up properly. They turn it on. They answer the couple of questions when you log into Windows or whatever.
They cancel out of the registration pop-ups, and they leave, you know, whatever built-in default AV that came with it, Trend Micro, McAfee, Norton, whatever,
exactly,
from Best Buy, leave it on there, and then they forget that they got to buy it, and 60 days, 90 days later, they get hit with that pop-up, and then they're calling you about that. Why am I getting this pop-up? And then you're like, oh, well, you're getting it because you never paid for it. Now you got... You've been, you know, unsecured. Your PC's been pretty much unsecured for the past, you know, 14 days since it told you this 14 days ago, and you're just now electing to call me today. Yeah, so that's an issue.
Or
that's definitely an issue.
It's even worse than that. A lot of the machines I get have been like that for 8 months.
I've seen that occasionally. I don't get that very often, but what I get more now is the computer that comes in, new client, never talked to him, never worked with him before. And the way I have my company set up is that a lot of my prices for the most common things that are break fix cost you more money in a one-time stop to have me do the work or to have my help desk or whoever do the work than what it will cost you for an entire annual plan for a small business plan, home plan, whatever. And I give you more service off of that, but I'm getting you to subscribe. I don't like break fix because you really can't. You got to do business for a while, and you have to be able to see and get reports on the economic slumps and good economic times in your market, in your area, to really get a good rough idea as to how much you're bringing in on a monthly basis and throughout the year. And what really stinks is whenever you're doing business and you're doing all break fix and you have some employees and you have a couple bad months and now you're starting to run out of revenue and you don't want to let them go because they're part of your family now. And so you dip into your own wallet. And now instead of having nice, you know, chairs in your dining room, you got to get rid of those chairs and you got wicker chairs. You know, the kids from Boy Scouts just went ahead and put together for you. You make sacrifices, and a lot of times it's a bad choice. You know, you have to know what money's coming in. You have to know what your averages are so you can make the right choice and decide, okay, do I need this many employees or do I need to downsize and rework how we're doing business? So there's always a right way in doing things and a wrong way in doing things. That's one of the things that I really – when I go to spend time working on my business and make it better, those are the things that I – it's a go-to move for me. First time – I ever started that process, I went out and found myself a really awesome marketing company because I was not a marketing genius, didn't know anything about marketing, and I'm still not that great today. I'm okay, and I'm definitely making a lot more money than I was before, but that's a whole different career skill set. And when you jump out of your zone, you're out of your element, you're out of your box, don't go to someone that isn't a proven, you know, success. Don't listen to advice from somebody if they can't prove that they're, you know, successfully doing it themselves. Go to the person that's successfully doing it. They're going to cost you a lot more money, but it'll be worth it in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, you know, some of Marshall's skill sets, I was just thinking back to, as long as Marshall and I have known each other, Marshall did something for me a while back. He created a portion of my webpage because I had a generic webpage set up that was, to me, it was fine. I'm looking at it. I go, well, I'm getting business. Business is working. And it looks fine to me. You know, it has the most important information, which is my phone number, because I want people to call that number. And Marshall took, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes in Microsoft Paint, basically designed, took some of my logos and stuff from my website, put something together for my squeeze page. And I looked at it and I go, he goes, if you don't like it, that's fine. Be honest. He goes, but I think you're going to like this. And I looked at it and I go, that's pretty cool. That looks pretty good. So I took that and adapted it slightly, but it's basically what he basically put together for me, which for my type of business made a lot more sense. So even though he's not the marketing genius, like he says, he does understand a lot of things about marketing, and he was able to pass that information off to me to help me out and actually create something on my website.
I'm really good at, and I hate to tell people what I'm good at. They need to figure that out on their own. That's my first advice. But I feel like I'm really good at, you know, taking a business from ground zero and getting you through that ABC step process. After C, where I'm at in my own company and where I'm at business-wise and my current education level with all these different areas of things that I work on, I don't want to take someone past that C area. I get you up and running. I get the money starting to come through the door. And then I'm going to help you find the next person that's going to leapfrog you, you know, 5-10 steps ahead. So that hopefully you can see, you know, your revenue spike from a couple $100 a month with no effort to a couple $1,000 a month, and then get you that other business hooked up to provide a professional service that I don't have 10, 20, 50 people that can manage that for you. And then you start seeing revenue leaps of like a couple $1,000 a month recurring. Now you made $5,000 this month. Next month you bring in another $5,000 in, plus that first person's paid you $5,000. So now you've made $10,000 that month. And it just grows and grows and grows until it's to the point where you're like, you know what? Got a lot of zeros here in my bank account with some nice numbers in front of them. I'm going to go buy myself a yacht. I keep telling my girlfriend that. That's what I'm going to do one day, is I'm going to go buy myself a yacht.
There you go. Well, you've got to, you know what, and in this business, I believe you have to have aspirations in, you know, whatever you want to call it, dreams. You've got to have things you got to have things that you're shooting for.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, what are you really doing? Again, to me, if we don't have dreams to make it better, to make it to the point where we spend less time working in our business, but having our business work for us instead, then I don't understand what the point is. I could go get a job and do that, you know, or I already have a job that I can, you know, I go in, I punch the time clock, I get paid, I go home. To do that in my own business without having any aspirations to go past the job mentality and to actually get more time for myself to be able to spend with my family and do other things, I really don't see what the point is.
There's not a point. And people that haven't figured that out yet, they'll learn that soon enough through trial and error and understand that you get this feeling in your gut that's things that life's not fair, things aren't fair, and that feeling's there to tell you that you need to make some improvements in your own business so that you can get more time to spend with family, friends, and you're making a better wage so that you're more happy about how much money you're earning. When you're the business owner and you're not clearing more than $50,000 a year, not more than, you know, $100,000 a year, and you got employees or whatever, you got a huge, huge issue in your company. And you shouldn't be doing business in that way, in my opinion. I don't even have to see your records. I don't have to see your assets. I don't have to see your income monthly. I don't have to see your reports annually. If you got a couple people working for you and you're not paying yourself, right? I don't think you're really going to be happy unless you're already independently wealthy and you got tons of money in the bank account and you're really kind of doing what you're doing now as a, this is just my hobby and fun thing. Okay, then that doesn't matter. But for the rest of us unfortunate souls, it absolutely does matter. You know, you got to make sure you're getting paid right so you can be happy, so that you can be happy with your employees, so that you can be happy with your clients. If you're not happy, you're not going to do good business. When you go to talk to the client, they're going to see that you're not always cheery and happy. And there's nothing better than always having a great, great attitude when you're talking to a client that's not happy about something. Because happiness and positive emotions rub off on people. It's just right. One of those, what is it, through osmosis. It's organic. It happens. It's how human beings function, in my opinion. I don't understand psychology all too well, but I know that that's a fact.
Yes.
Because I do that all the time. I joke around with Jeff all the time and say, you know, this is back from when I was in the service, and Jeff was in the service too, that he used to always kid around and tell us, you know, false motivation is the best motivation. And that's a lie, but there's a white lie in that you can kind of see. When you're having a bad day but you have a good attitude, if you continue to exhibit that good attitude, there's a bigger chance that that good attitude is actually going to rub off and that it's going to make your day happier. And then your client's going to be happier. And the people that you just randomly bump into through life are going to be happier. The one thing I really love about doing work and helping others is that bond or that interaction where I take someone's frown and turn it upside down and make their day better after I fix their problem or do whatever.
And you know, Marshall's he's a king at that. He will always tell you something with a smile on his face. And I remember when I first met him, one of the things that he would constantly tell me, not constantly tell me, but when a situation would come up.
Oh, it was constantly. That's okay. It was constantly.
And I was complaining about this, that, or the other. Marshall would look at me. He would put a big grin on his face and he'd smile and shake his head. He goes, "Jeff, I understand what you're saying, but let me tell you why you're wrong." And he said it with a smile, so I couldn't really be mad at him. I was just kind of like, okay, tell me why I'm wrong, you know? And I kind of had a smile on my face. Ha ha. Like, yeah, tell me. And he would tell me, and I was more receptive to hearing that just because he was smiling so, instead of, dude, you're really doing this wrong, you know, which is kind of my attitude. Sometimes I said, listen, you know, stop doing it wrong. You know, but that's not always the right way to handle it. So
you've done that to me a number of times, and that's where it works good for me because I don't have time in my day for malarkey or, you know, BS or whatever. I need you to just get right to the meat and potatoes and tell me exactly what's going on so that I can get it done and move on to the next thing that's going to make me money. And you've done that for me quite a few times.
Yes, I have.
By the way, Jeff, did you ever get that invoice for the web design service that I did for you?
Yes, no? I did.
Did you get that?
I got that. I can't remember what the amount on it was, but it was
It was zero.
Was it zero?
Yeah, it was zero.
Okay. I was going to say, well, the virtual check is in the mail.
Awesome. That's great.
That was one of our late night stay up till 4 o'clock. Not 4 o'clock, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that.
It's been a while since we've done one of those.
Yeah.
So in the progress, you know, the amount of time we spent on this call so far, we're actually over an hour. I'm going to have to hop off here shortly, but I finished my malware removal on that remote machine. It's been done here for a little bit.
Gotcha.
So guys, if you're not automating your business systems, you're not automating your desktop support, server support, laptop support, all that stuff. You're not automating how you're purchasing things, getting, you know, in bed, so to speak, with the right vendors to save you more money and increase your profits, or you just don't know how to do that stuff. There's always somebody out there that can help you. And I'd be happy to be one of those people to at least, you know, do a free phone call and assessment and BS with you for a little while and talk business. And if it's something I can point you in the right direction on, I absolutely will.
Very cool. No, that's, you know, and that's what I like about this industry for the most part is, you know, people helping people. And, you know, that's one of the things that I think in a lot of industries, if you really look at them, a lot of industries are really cutthroat. And I think this industry sometimes can be that way. But I think if a few individuals stand up and actually try to help others, again, it goes back to the old adage, you know, a rising tide raises all ships.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and right now, so, you know, here's part of the problem is a lot of times if I'm starting off as a tech and I'm just getting started in business and I'm charging super cheap rates, which everybody does, we've all done it. Okay, what we're encouraging you to do is that's not only a disservice to yourself and your skill set, but it's a disservice to other people in the industry. It's really a disservice to your customer. And one of the things you really need to do is you need to assess that and go, okay, what is the industry standard? How can we all work together? How can I learn new things?
Yep.
And then understand that when you're charging more and making more money, you can take that money and you can put it into tools that you need to run your business more effectively, more automated. You can put it into services. You can put it into your marketing. You can put it into things that will help you grow your business versus just kind of sitting there waiting for the phone to ring. And the only reason the phone's going to ring is because you're so cheap that people are actually looking for that deal. And then you're going to spend so many hours with that one person making a little bit of money instead of just seeking out the people that actually want to pay you a good wage, want a good job done, and are happy with your service.
Yeah, you have to know your market. You have to have a market. You can't just cater to everyone, in my opinion. And you have to know how to attract that market by having the right products set up for the right price ranges, the right value, the right everything. And until you do that, you're just going to be hammering nails into walls, hoping that you hit a stud.
Yeah. And how many of us have done that?
Usually it goes through my hand first, but you know, that's just, I don't pay attention a lot of times to what's happening around me anymore.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because that just brought an analogy to me.
Go for
it. I'm sitting here thinking and I go, you know, years ago, you know, okay, how do you find a spot in the wall so you can hit a, you know, hang a picture on a stud or hang a shelf or a rack in your bathroom, a towel rack, something like that. Okay. Well, a lot of times they have those anchors that you can put in the drywall and it really doesn't matter anymore, except that it does because those anchors still only hold so much weight. So if you don't put it like a towel rack into at least one stud, eventually that towel rack will come out from the wall. Contractors do it all the time and every one of them I've had to repair. Anyways, the point is I remember buying I don't even think I bought it. I think I got it as a free accessory to a drill I bought. And it would have been a stud finder. And you had to you put the stud finder on the wall and you move it back and forth. And do you know that stud finder was wrong almost every time? So by the time I got done with my project.
You know how I find them in the wall? You know how I find them in a wall?
How's that?
I just tap the wall until I hear it.
And that's the old fashioned way of doing it. And I understand that. But even doing that, especially with some of these walls with steel girders instead of wood, that's a little harder to do. What ends up happening a lot of times is I will still, by the time I'm done with a project, I'll have 10 holes and a bunch of wasted time. So I went out and bought a stud finder that cost me like $75. And this stud finder, guess what? It finds the center of the stud 100% of the time. It also lets me know if there's an electrical line going down that stud. And so my point is it takes a few seconds to get find the stud, put the screw in, and I'm done. A lot of times having the proper tool for your business is going to save you a lot of time compared to what you're used to doing. If you like working on something and putting 10 holes into it and wasting a bunch of time, that's fine, but you will get tired of it eventually. So when you charge more, you can get the better tool to help you in your business to actually make more money. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go out and buy all these tools when you're just starting out. Buy the tools as you need them. You know, when you're starting out, you can start out in this business very inexpensively, and that's good. But you're going to come to a point where you're going to go, hey, I need some more education. Maybe I need to take a webinar over here to learn how to remove viruses. Or maybe I need to take a webinar to learn how to use this particular tool. Or maybe I need to buy this particular tool that will make my job that much easier.
And or then you're going to email me or call me and I'll help you get in the right direction.
There you go. There you go.
Because I went through all the early startup pains already. And, you know, a lot of this whole call has been about, you know, don't recreate the wheel and that kind of stuff. You want to save yourself some time and heartache? Go ahead and give me a phone call. Go ahead and shoot me an email. It's on 24/7, 365. Email's up 24/7, 365. If I'm not available, I won't answer the phone. If I'm out with family, I won't answer the phone. But if I am available, I am not opposed to spending a couple minutes on a call to chit-chat with somebody. And if I can help you, I will commit myself if you'll commit yourself to me. If I can't help you, I'm probably just going to go ahead and point you to where you need to be going anyways.
Right.
I'd rather see other people, as long as you're not a direct competitor with me locally, I'd rather see people growing their business, providing more for their families and for their employees' families than being stagnant for year after year after year.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Well, yep. Marshall, I think we've covered a lot on this call, and I think, or the show, I should say. Now you got me saying it. I think we've covered a lot in this show, and we've given a lot of good advice and information and stuff. And as usual, you're always welcome to come back on. I want to thank you for taking your time to come on the show and sharing with us. We'll have everything in the show notes. But do you want to share anything? I think you already shared all your contact information, so people will have that. You can go right to the webpage and check that out.
Yeah, it'll be on the webpage. Let's get on here. Let's do another one here pretty soon. I wouldn't mind actually just doing a call all about, ticket management and stuff like that. Maybe I can talk to people about how to use a tool like ConnectWise to help streamline their automation for doing professional services.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be great.
If you've heard me talk already on PodNuts or on Geeksters or anything like that, you probably already heard me talk until I'm blue in the face about D7.2. That's for your desktop support, service support, service automation there when you're actually doing the work. Let's schedule time and we'll talk about, something else like ConnectWise or whatever.
That sounds good. Yeah, I like those niche topics that I think a lot of people are interested in.
Yeah, and I kind of went around. We kind of bounced back and forth between a lot of stuff today. So I want to make sure people are getting, a little bit more detailed information in the future from me.
Sounds good. All right. Cool. Well, you guys can find me over on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, please email us at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com. You guys can help support the PodNuts Network. The next time you're shopping at Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. Remember, that doesn't change your price at all. Puts a little change in the pockets of the PodNuts Network to bring you these great shows. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on PodNuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of PodNuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.